Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on a set again.
Yo, Sports City, what's going on, man? It's your boy Sirius back at the helm with another edition of the NFL Free for All. We got a lot to talk about this evening. I'm not going to waste anybody else's time with the preliminaries, but before we get cracking, I do got my co-host with me. I don't do this by myself, man. Trust me, in the 9 o'clock hour, we was on the phone trying to make sure this thing happens. Shout out to the homie Barry the Villain. Joe, what's up, my man? How we doing this afternoon?
Chilling like a villain, man. We doing good. Sports City, call with number 929-477-2759. Got to pay the bills, but we doing good, man. How you feeling, brother?
You know what, man? Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And in the event that you get a bad chocolate, you just throw that drain back and pick up a new one. But with that being said, my guy, we got a lot to talk about, man, for starters. Man, how was your weekend, man? Did you have a good time with the family, man? Trick-or-treating, doing all that fun stuff with the babies?
Oh, yeah, it was crazy, man. Saturday we had a lot of rain, so it was crazy. And, you know, supposed to have football, and we didn't. And it was just, you know, it was crazy, man. You know, Halloween all weekend, it was like a long, long weekend. But, you know, we're back to work now, back at it.
You got to pay them bills, man. But without further ado, man, let's dive into some football topics, man. First and foremost, today the trade deadline came and went. Deshaun Watson didn't get moved like we all thought that he wouldn't. I guess you would call the big move that took place, you know, over the trade deadline was Von Miller being traded from the Denver Broncos to the LA Rams for practically nothing. but, you know, looking over the landscape of things, what were your thoughts on the trade deadline? What moves that you were surprised about? What moves that were made that you're kind of shaking your head of, and what moves should have been made?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that the players that should have been moved didn't get moved, right? You know, Deshaun Watson, still a Texan. Odell Beckham Jr. still on the Browns. A lot of receivers didn't get moved as well that we thought were possibly on the move, you know, at least in New York, Darius Slayton. But, you know, you heard Jameis Crowder for the Jets. His name was popping up. A lot of teams that could have used a receiver, like the Saints or the Packers, didn't make a move. I think the Saints and the Browns tried to get a deal for Odell Beckham done, from what I heard, but basically they couldn't agree on the salary. I think it was basically the compensation was fine, but I guess Odell's owed a lot of money for the end of the year, and they couldn't agree upon that. So surprised that move didn't happen, that Odell, who probably did not want to be in Cleveland much longer, is still a Brown. I think the Browns think that they can salvage it, and, you know, they're better with him than they are without him. But, he doesn't want to be there, and I don't think the chemistry is working with Baker Mayfield, which you probably saw this past week. So, surprised he's there. But, the big shock, when you told me Von Miller to the Rams, I was like, wow. Rams not only pushed their chips to the middle when they got Jalen Ramsey, they've definitely mortgaged the house and the stadium, I guess SoFi Stadium, to get Von Miller there. So I think that's a huge move. I think it makes a really good team even better. I don't know how they're not, you know, really the favorites out there in the NFC, even though the Cardinals beat them head-to-head. The Cardinals lost J.J. Watt. But I'm looking at the Rams, and, you know, they're scary good right now.
You know what, man? I definitely agree with you, man. I'm going to double-click on that Odell Beckham thing here in a little bit. But, you know, let's talk about the Rams for a second. I mean, honestly, with them essentially locking up the front four, if you will, I mean, it takes two to block Aaron Donald. You got, you know, Von Miller, you know, if he's able to stay healthy. That's always been a bugaboo with Von Miller. I speak to a plethora of Denver Bronco fans on a regular basis, whether it's on the clubhouse or in my own personal life here. And that was their biggest knock on Von Miller, was the fact that, you know, you can't help your club from inside the medical tub, if you will. And Von Miller has kind of been nicked up, you know, for the better part of the past 2 or 3 years. So, bad head to see him go. But honestly, if Von Miller is able to stay healthy, this Rams team is going to be a problem. I mean, they were already good beforehand. Let's keep it a buck. They were already good beforehand. But you know, them getting Von Miller is just going to really take them over the top. And let's keep in mind that they already beat TB12 and the Buccaneers without him. And, you know, the last time, you know, Von Miller was playing, you know, he at a high level, he, again, former Defensive Player of the Year candidate there, won the MVP for a Super Bowl. I mean, this guy can still get it done. So, again, salute to Sean McVay and the Rams for pulling off that deal. The one deal that kind of still, again, it kind of hits home for me was the fact that today we ended up dealing with disgruntled Melvin Ingram for the Kansas City Chiefs for a 6-round draft pick. You know, for me, I would have hoped that the Steelers would have made that work. Because when you start to look at, you know, the long end of a season, our defense and our team took a massive nosedive once our linebackers got hurt last year. Bud Dupree went down with an ACL. Devin Bush got an ACL. You know, our whole team went downhill when the linebacking core of our team got hurt. So I would have loved to have seen us figure out a way to make it work with Melvin Ingram and Alex Highsmith and T.J. Watt and company. I mean, we did pick up Taco Charleston, a former first-round draft pick who went in the same year that T.J. Watt went. As a matter of fact, he went before T.J. Watt, and he was able to get caught up in the practice squad and get some snaps. But I would have loved to have seen Melvin Ingram work. We did flip him for a 6th-round draft pick, not too shabby for signing him to a league minimum deal, but that was the only move, in my opinion, that got done that kind of had me questioning a couple of things. A couple of things that took place, Barry, that didn't take place. Obviously, DeSean Jackson was released today. He was a disgruntled guy who I have questions. I mean, let's keep it a buck, okay? You're on a trajectory to go at least deep into the playoffs, if not compete for a Super Bowl for the first time in your NFL pro career, and you couldn't swallow your pride, you couldn't swallow, you know, the fact that you wasn't getting targets and getting looked to go on this magic carpet ride. Like, what are your thoughts on DeSean Jackson situation, him being outright released, and ultimately where do you think he ends up?
I think there's teams that could use this help. Like I said, the Saints and the Packers come to mind right away. Don't count out the Raiders, especially with their issues that just popped up today. You know, they could use some help. The Chiefs could use receiver help as well. There's a familiarity with Andy Reid, so I wouldn't be surprised there. I think, you know, I think as much of it as a fit it should have been in L.A., it's not a fit. You know, he just wasn't getting the ball. But they didn't need him to get – they didn't really need him, to be honest with you. Kupp and Woods are really good receivers, but now you add in Matt Stafford, and they look like world-class receivers, like the two best – the best tandem of receivers in the league, right? Cooper Kupp is on pace to have a record year. It's ridiculous. So I don't think they needed him as much. He wasn't happy. I guess they couldn't find trade suitors for him, is what I'm understanding, right? So they had to let him go. You know, listen, you know me. I'm an Eagle hater. Shout out to your wife. But, you know, like, I have disdain for Jackson, right? I have a deep disdain for DeSean Jackson, him running down the goal line against my Giants. I just don't – he you know. But, listen, there's no doubt that he can help a team right now. And I think, you know, they tried to trade him. They couldn't get anything. You know, he's 34 years old. But I don't think – you know, I don't think what I think it's $2.75 million. It's not going to be a big. Yeah, so you know the Rams still have to pay that salary, so he would probably get the league minimum, close to what the Packers had to pay. You know, recently for I think it was for the linebacker Jalen Smith, who just got cut. Yeah, crazy. So I think. It's a low risk, high reward for any team that wants to sign him up.
So I mean, here's my thing, man. Like honestly, DeSean Jackson, you know, I mean, he's a Cali boy first and foremost. I mean, he's from Cali, so this marriage should have worked, in my opinion.
Right.
Like, you understood what you were getting when you signed on the dotted line. Like you, like
right.
Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods was already in the building. You go bring in a Matthew Stafford, and you understood what you was getting yourself into before you signed your name on the dotted line. So I don't understand, you know, in DeSean Jackson's case, why he's shocked or why he's frustrated at the fact that he's not getting touches. I mean, make yourself available. You know, go to practice. Do what you need to do. Tell the coach that you want to play. Do what you got to do. Stay on this magic carpet ride. Like, again, we're all putting them, you know, deep in the playoffs. Again, anything can happen or whatever the case may be. But ultimately, like, for DeSean Jackson to be at this point in his career, a guy who has routinely missed the mark by not being on teams that were deep enough or going deep enough or, you know, whatever the case may be, for him to be in a position now in his hometown in California with, I don't want to say that. I don't know if that's his favorite team, but he was in California. He was on the Rams. He, you know, ride this magic carpet out, bro. Like, I don't understand. And you want to look at what team can possibly pay him or what team is possibly going to he's going to sign with. What team would want this type of malcontent? Like, according to what I'm understanding, according to what I'm reading, he was upset that he wasn't getting touches. He wanted to be the number one receiver, the number one option. So you look at the teams that, you know, already have or don't have number one options. Those are the bottom feeders of the league. Those are your New York Jets. Those are your Houston Texans. Those are those type of teams. And so you gave up the opportunity to compete for a championship to go be the man with a team that can't compete.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? My one friend mentioned the Baltimore Ravens. Even if you go to Baltimore, now, again, Baltimore is, in my opinion, a wasteland for receivers because of the quarterback play. But even if you went to Baltimore, came to Baltimore, you're still not the number one receiver because you got Hollywood Brown there, you got Mark Andrews there, and there's a drafted number one receiver, Rashard Bateman, who just got off IR, who Lamar Jackson is seems to have signed rapport with. So even if you came to Baltimore, a team from the AFC who is picked to, you know, go deep in the playoffs and make a run or whatever the case may be, you're still not the number one receiver. So you leave home. You leave a comfy situation because you want to be the man to go somewhere where you're not going to be the man in general. I don't get it.
And it's crazy, Sears, because, you know, I think Jefferson got hurt in the game against the Texans this week, and they just placed their rookie receiver, what's his name, Atwell, on injured reserve. So the Rams are thin at receiver already, and they still let this guy go. They still let him go. They just released him. So you could see it just wasn't working. It didn't work on both sides. They brought him in to be a deep threat. He only had 8 catches this year. It just wasn't working. And it's a shame because if he would have stuck it out, to your point, stick it out, because he probably would have got a little bit more run. He would have been a little bit more used in the offense because the Rams are already thin at that position. But something had to happen, to your point, in the background, and he didn't want to make it work, which is a shame.
Yeah, I definitely agree, man. I definitely agree. Did you want to touch on anything else, trade or player release-wise before we get to these weekend's games, or no? You good there?
I think we're pretty good. I mean, the trade deadline was kind of quiet. I was, like I said, I think the Von Miller trade is an A-plus on both sides, Ram pushing their chips in. The Chiefs got the pass rusher that they need, even though I don't know if Melvin Ingram isn't much of an upgrade. They need any kind of help they can get. And they got a defensive end from the Jets in a trade, correct? I think they had gotten I'm looking at the wire.
You're right, his name,
they got
yeah, his name escapes me, yeah.
Oh, they got a tight end. So they got a little help at tight end. Daniel Brown and the Jets got a guard. I mean, I don't know any offensive lineman from the Chiefs can't be trusted right now. But yeah, I'm surprised that the Dolphins didn't pull the trigger on Deshaun Watson. I guess there were some issues that they were trying to do their due diligence on, and they decided against the trade. I think probably. Once all the dust settles on the legal issues in the off season, I expect Deshaun Watson to be wearing a Dolphins uniform. But not surprised that the Texans couldn't get it done. Why could they? I mean, that's the Texans for you. Right?
Yeah, that's the Texans for you, man. That's the Texans for you. I did want to double click on this Odell Beckham thing. You alluded to
sure.
it earlier. And I kind of wanted to double click on that before we started talking about the week that was. I'm sure you saw the whole situation today where his father came out and kind of blasted Baker Mayfield for not getting his son the ball and everything like that. And my take on it is kind of interesting because I understand that you want to stick up for your kid. You know, I mean, we're both fathers sitting here, and if I felt that my son was being done unjustly, by all means, I would step up and say something, and, you know, I'm sure you would do the same thing, and listeners would also do the same thing. But for me, I think, you know, Mr. Senior was kind of out of line here.
Yeah, I think so.
And it kind of made it as though if you're Odell Beckham Jr., okay, how in the world do you go back into that locker room after this? Like, how? Like, your father pretty much flipped the bird to your quarterback, kind of flipped the bird to the organization, kind of wanted to force you out of town, if you will, and it didn't happen. So now you want to pop back into the building and be like, oops, my bad? Like, how do you do that? Like, what were your thoughts on that whole dad exchange thing online today?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's kind of like you don't want Odell Beckham to go out there and do it. So his dad kind of, took the burden off of him. But still, it's just an ugly situation, right? And like I said, it's all about the fit, and there is no fit right now, right? Baker Mayfield isn't getting Odell Beckham the ball, and I think Odell Beckham is not helping his cause because he's starting to get alligator arms, right? Like DeJesus said from Wu-Tang Clan, short arms and deep pockets, but like he's having short arms going over the middle, not catching the ball, right? He's not playing well. He doesn't look into it. He's not really putting himself out there for Baker Mayfield. I think a better quarterback would have been a nice situation. I really wanted him to go to either Kansas City or Green Bay. I think playing with Aaron Rodgers would have really been – that's what both of them needed. And
oh
he would have been in
Can
line.
Can you imagine Devontae Adams and Odell Beckham? Oh, that's nasty.
But he would have stayed in line. Right, he's not gonna. His dad's not gonna override Aaron Rodgers and not gonna go out and disrespect Aaron Rodgers, even if Aaron Rodgers isn't getting him the ball or what have you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it would have been a better situation for all involved. Do I think he can make it work in Cleveland? Yes, I still think he can. But I think the fascination with Aaron Rodgers, it's kind of over. I really think like, he's still kind of living on that catch, and it was a great catch. And as a Giant fan, obviously it was a great catch, but I feel like that was so long ago. That's his only claim, right? That's his only shine right now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I think right now there's nothing. He's got nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't seen him be consistent on the field. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him on the field enough. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I think it's a bad look for his dad to come out there and kind of pull that move. But, you know, I think Odell Beckham has some – he has to get through this season, and he has to be a professional. He has to come out, and he has to be a team player. And then he has to reevaluate himself. I think he has to look at himself and say, all right, what do I want out of my career? Do I want to be known for this catch, or do I want to be a winner?
Well, see, here's my issue with that. And, again, I mean, I feel you 100%, but the issue of Odell Beckham Jr. is his availability.
Yeah.
And in my honest opinion,
that's the best ability.
You know what I'm saying? You know, Baker Mayfield throws the ball to whom he has rapport with. You know, any quarterback does that. Like, if you're not on the practice field, if you're not in a game situation, it's very difficult for me to know where you're at, even though we called a play. You know, the camaraderie between quarterback and receiver is imperative. It's second to none. I remember watching something on 30 for 30 where, you know, Jerry Rice and Joe Montana and Steve, they knew exactly where their guys were going to be at. Like, heck, I mean,
right.
I watched it with Big Ben and AB. Like, they can sit out there and play catch in the dark because they did
right.
it so much. And with Odell Beckham Jr.'s injury history, he can't be on the field. So, of course, they're going to look at, you know, Jarvis Landry. Of course, they're going to look at Donovan Peoples-Jones. Of course, they're going to look at other options. And the few times that he throws him the football, he puts it in the wrong place. He puts it, you know, he puts it high, whatever the case may be. And so, as much as I want to blame Baker Mayfield for not getting him the ball, Odell has to shoulder the blame a lot of this on himself for not being available. Now, again, you can't help when you get hurt. You can't help that. You know, it's an unfortunate thing in our game. But ultimately, like we said, the best. The best way to be available is to be available, and he just hasn't been available for enough time, man. But we're going to, you know, turn the page on Cleveland, man. I'll talk about them later on, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about the game that was yesterday. I'm kind of going out of order since you're sitting here, man. The New York Giants kind of flirted with a dub there. I was sitting there watching. I was like, yeah, these Bama's are going to mess around and beat the Chiefs, and I got to hear this man happy and joyful tomorrow. And, you know, and then I went ahead and, you know, prayed, you know, did, you know, said a Hail Mary and a bunch of other stuff. And would you know it, Kansas City won it for me. God bless America. But, man, go ahead and talk about the Giants. What do you think, man? What do you think about the game, man?
Typical Giants, beating themselves. Mistakes. I said it on our YouTube channel with the finger foods. I listened to yours and I did mine as well. You know, get to YouTube on Sports City Chefs on YouTube and listen to finger foods with Sirius and myself. Listen, they invent new ways to make mistakes. It's either, you know, interceptions, turnovers, it's mental lapses, penalties. Yesterday it was penalties and poor coaching. Joe Judge has as much blame as anybody else on that loss yesterday with his poor clock management, timeouts, usage, and he wants to blame headsets as is that's the reason why. Like, no, you're supposed to be a disciplinarian, and that was what you came in with, that rousing speech when you got introduced as coach, and I got hyped up. I said, this is the guy, and you got a team that's committing 10 penalties, a penalty serious by Elijah Penny that basically they made a great third down play to get to about midfield, 15-yard penalty on a taunting to push him right back. And then another penalty where Patrick Mahomes is about to give away the game, throws another pick, who I'll get to Patrick Mahomes in a minute, but you know, listen, that ends the game. It's an offsides penalty. That it's just mental mistakes that kills this Giants team, and they don't have the talent right now on the field to overcome those kind of mistakes. I got to give props to the defense. They had a heck of a game plan. Patrick Graham, you know, the defense had been getting gashed for the last couple of weeks. Last week and this week, they played really, really well. Held the Chiefs offense to 17 points. I mean, 17 points in total, that last minute field goal. They did a heck of a job. The game plan was sound, but the mental mistakes, the penalties even on the defense killed them, and that's why they lost the game.
You know, honestly, man, I was sitting here and I was like, listen, for as much trash as you and I talked back and forth, for as many times as I sat there and went to the blog and read it and listened to the finger food, mm-hmm. and, you know, one of my best friends is a Giants fan, and, you know, he and I speak regularly.
I hope he read it. I hope he read it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he's a subscriber, man. But he and I talk regularly. About the Giants struggle. I mean, he's a New Yorker through and through, so, you know, Giants, Knicks, you know, Yankees, the whole nine. I seem to collect you clowns. But he said the exact same thing. He said the exact same thing. It's typical Giants. They make ways to lose. You know, and again, even in a situation like yesterday, where for the whole entire game, you guys were in it. Like, you looked like you wanted to let go of the ropes, and you never mm-hmm. let go of the rope. Like, you was always attached.
Right.
You know, it didn't matter what Patrick Mahomes did. I think something is wrong with him mentally. I think there's a disconnect between what's going on with Patrick Mahomes on the field and what's going on in his personal life, in my honest opinion. Because something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, the Giants never really detached themselves. And, you know, throughout the whole entire game, they could have really made a play. You were a play away. And
right.
I'm sure as a Giants fan, that is the most frustrating thing that you got to deal with as you wake up this morning. Like, yo, we were a play away from knocking off the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll leave that there. You know, you sustained another injury yet again. you know, so I'm not sure what's going on there, but good God, y'all need to stay healthy.
Honestly, I want to clean this up. The Chiefs are not a playoff team. I was talking to Giant fans during the game, and shout out to my boy Seth. I've not seen Patrick Mahomes look this bad. I really haven't. He looks confused. He looks like a rookie quarterback that's forcing plays. He's just lost. Like he refuses to take the easy play. He refuses to take the check down play. He wants to get the ball downfield. Make the spectacular throw, the sidearm, underneath throw. Like, no, just, dude, the most boring play, like I do. Tom Brady's first Super Bowl win, right, against the great Rams, the greatest show on turf. That game-winning drive, one play downfield, maybe one. Most of it was underneath, dink and dunk. Take what the defense gives you. Patrick Mahomes won't do it. He can't do it. And then even when he has plays open, he has guys, when you're playing too deep, you can get the sideline out, or you can get the seam route, or you can get the crossing route. He won't throw it. He's trying to force it downfield. He's getting in his own way. I said it to my friend. He's trying to score two touchdowns on one throw. That's what he's doing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's pretty accurate, actually.
He's trying to do too much on one play. And the defense played well. He didn't have to do all that. And he still is
right.
In his own way. They're not a playoff team. I don't know any team. They won't beat the Steelers. They won't beat the Browns again. They won't beat the Ravens, the Bills. the Titans if Derrick Henry was healthy. But even without Henry, I don't know if they could beat them. The Chargers, the Raiders. There's not a team. I don't. There's not a playoff team that they can beat right now. Serious.
Well, you know, I will say this. You know, it's better to deal with that in a win. They managed to get the dub. So
yes.
You got some division games coming up. Got some division games coming up. You know, I'm really not too sold right now on the L.A. Chargers. You know, they went up to Foxborough and laid a massive egg, and right now their defense is atrocious. Let's keep it a buck. I mean, the New York Giants, above all else, they could always play defense. You know what I'm saying? So I'm curious to see what they look like going forward. They do got some games coming up down the pike. I mean, we actually play them this year. So we'll see them later on. Speaking of the L.A. Chargers, I definitely wanted to talk about them for a second. They went up to Foxborough this past week and literally didn't look like themselves, which is weird because they're coming off a bye week and they lost to a New England Patriots team 27-24. Did you ever take a look at that game? What were your thoughts? I think Mac Jones played exceptionally well. Harris ran the ball for 80 yards. Jones threw for 218. And it was pretty much just a ball control type of game. Justin Herbert did not look good. He turned the ball over twice. You know, just wasn't a good out for him. What were you thinking watching this New England Patriots LA Chargers game?
Bill Belichick is the master. He confuses even the veteran quarterbacks like Mahomes and Tom Brady, and he thoroughly confused Justin Herbert on Sunday. I mean, you're looking at a guy that's been doing this for a long time, and you know, a lot of people, a lot of quarterbacks have seen pretty much everything, but there's just no preparing for what Bill Belichick can do to you, how he can confuse you, mixing up coverages, giving you different looks, and just really kind of disrupting your flow of the game. So, you know, with a steady quarterback in Matt Jones that, you know, for the most part won't beat himself and he'll take care of the football, I'm looking at the Patriots as a dangerous team that might be able to get into the playoffs. And if they do get into the playoffs, one game with Bill Belichick at doing the game plan, I don't know. That's not something I want to sign up for. I think the Chargers, I think we got a little ahead of ourselves. I still think they're a good team. I still think they can get into the playoffs. But I just look at them and I say, all right, they still got a little bit of growth in them. The defense is not playing well, to your point. They got to make stops. They got to either force turnovers, get off the field, what have you. I'm not liking what I'm seeing from them, but I think it really, the offense will be fine. I think it's the defense. I think the defense in for the Chargers really needs to kind of get, they need something. They need something to click, either getting pressure with Bosa, which is, I don't know where he's been, or what have you, or coverage. So I'm not worried about the Chargers getting into the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to do a lot of damage right now.
You know what? Again, you just got to look at a couple of things. First of all, Justin Herbert, you know, second-year quarterback. You know, and here's the thing: like when you look at Bill Belichick, man, like I don't. He's the greatest. He's the greatest. Like I mean, when it comes to game planning and everything, he's the greatest. He tends to take away what you do best and forces you to use your left hand. To beat him. And so Justin Herbert got frustrated all day. He was under constant pressure. You know, they turned him over. It was just a bad day. Now, they did run the football for 163 total yards. So Bill Belichick was like, listen, all right, Justin Herbert's not going to beat you. If you're going to beat me, run the football. You know what I'm saying? So salute to them, man. One other game, actually two other things I want to get into before I spoke about my own was this Indianapolis Colts and Tennessee game, the game that went into overtime. We ended up losing Derrick Henry for a good portion of the season, if not a whole season, depending upon where the Tennessee Titans fall and what they do. But this is a 6-2 team now, overcoming a deficit and going into overtime and Carson Wentz doing Carson Wentz type things and turning the ball over. You managed to catch this game, man. What were you thinking and what's your thoughts about the Tennessee Titans going into Indianapolis and getting a 3-point overtime win?
Yeah, I watched this game with intent because, A, the Giants didn't play, and, B, Tennessee was my survivor pool pick. So I switched it. Jeez, I picked the Broncos earlier, and I got a little worried. So I was like, I think Tennessee's going to steal it. And, you know, I think Tennessee was plus 3. So I think I like Tennessee in this game. So, it's unfortunate Derrick Henry is injured. Looks like he's out for the season. Tennessee has no chance without him. It's unfortunate because they're a dangerous team with him. I mean, it is really hard to load up in the box against Derrick Henry and try to stop him and then try to worry about two really good receivers on the outside that you're going to leave one-on-one and try to play action. That offense is very simple, but it's almost unstoppable with Derrick Henry. Now you can sit back and you don't have to worry as much, right? You can play maybe cover two. You can maybe play a cover one robber scheme to take away the underneath, but you don't have to worry about stopping the run, right? So it's a different scheme. I don't know if Tannehill is up to it. I hope he is. I don't root for him, but I think, he's a good story because, you know, how it really ended in Miami and to see him now. But he's going to have to earn that money now, right, you know, without Derrick Henry. So, I was definitely sweating that out. The thing is, Carson Wentz, how much more can you take? He just doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. He's doing Patrick Mahomes things, but he's been doing it for years now. Like, everybody wants to point to the interception when he was in the end zone, getting rid of trying to get rid of the ball, throwing it with his left hand, making a bonehead play. I'm looking at the interception, throwing into triple coverage that's classic Carson Wentz. And you know your wife is an Eagle fan. She's seen it for years.
Right.
He won't take – he tries to play hero ball because he thinks he can. He has the arm talent. He knows more than the coaches, which he doesn't. And he can't just – take what the defense gives him. He won't do it. He thinks he has to, you know, make the spectacular play and make big. No, dude. There's no reason to throw that football. There's no reason to throw that football in the triple coverage when you had the underneath guy wide open. I'm watching it on Red Zone. I'm watching the replay. The guy is standing there wide open. Take what the defense gives you. Move the ball and keep the drive going. Won't do it.
Yeah.
It's at this point he's like Jameis Winston. At some point you have to turn the page and you try to coach it out of him. There's no coaching it out of him. That's who he is. So, I can't with him. They got a quick turnaround against the Jets. The Colts do. I think they're 10.5 point favorites. I'd take the points.
I don't know about that.
I would have taken.
I'll take the points.
I would have taken the points. What?
Yeah, I take the points.
It's at home.
I'm not. I don't care. I don't care.
I'll take the points. 10.5. Even though they're at home, I don't trust the Colts. That defense. Give the defense credit for the Colts. They stopped Derrick Henry. Buckner had a really good game. The defensive line played really well. Allowed them to play a little bit of coverage. Tannehill had to come back and win that game, and he did. So I don't expect them not to be able to do that against the Jets, but I don't trust I don't trust the Colts. I don't trust Carson Wentz. I'll take the points. I would have taken the points against the Giants. I'm kind of pissed that I didn't do it. I wanted to do it on FanDuel. I have the app on my phone, for crying out loud. I didn't do it. But, you know, so I was like, I got to do it. I got to do it. Yeah, you know, I was like, I got to do it. I got to do it. I forgot to do it. But, yeah, I don't like what I'm seeing from Carson Wentz. They can make a run now, because I think the Titans are going to lose some games without Derrick Henry, but I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all.
Well, let's look at this for a second. So the Tennessee Titans, they got the Rams, then they play the Saints. That's a loss. Then they play the Saints. That's a toss up.
Who knows?
Then they got the Texans, which is a win. They got the Patriots, you know, tossed up there.
That could be a loss. Where is that? Where's that game?
That could be a loss. It's in New England.
That's a loss.
That game's in New England.
I don't like that game.
Jaguars, which is
that
a win, no matter
win.
Where you play them. And then they play us in Pittsburgh.
That's a loss.
I'm so glad I don't got to do it with Derrick Henry. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah.
And then they close up the year versus the 49ers, the Dolphins, and the Texans. So, I mean, honestly, 11 wins gets you probably in the playoffs there.
Sure.
10 definitely. Well,
10 and 7 is where I'm thinking.
10 and 7. So, I mean, I can make a case for at least 4 wins on the schedule. So,
sure.
So that'll get them to 10 and 7.
That'll get them 10 and 7.
I think
that's fair, because they got the Texans twice. They got the Jaguars. That's 3 wins that they should get. 10 and 7 is not too far-fetched, but they're not the same. They're not the dangerous playoff team that they would be with Derrick Henry.
Definitely. So before we move on to Pittsburgh and Cleveland, I got to talk about last Thursday's game. It lived up to the hype for once. A game that just was good from start to finish. The Green Bay Packers go into the toaster, if you will, and knock off the formerly unbeaten Arizona Cardinals without the receivers. You know, Davante Adams was in the protocol. Lazar was in the protocol. The defensive coach was in the protocol, and yet they managed to get it done. Aaron Rodgers, a real pedestrian ho-hum, 184 yards for 2 touchdowns. They ran the football at will. You know, A.J. Dillon was 78. Aaron Jones was 59. Aaron Jones was also the leading receiver coming out of the backfield, so he had a 100-yard day collectively. Catching and running the football. Like, we all sat there and watched it, man. What were you thinking? What were your thoughts? Oh, that's a home run. He killed that ball.
But anyway, man,
what were your thoughts watching this game, Green Bay Packers getting the dub last Thursday?
Shout out to the Braves. Let's go Braves. Everybody but Texas is a Braves fan right now.
Let's go.
Shout out to Aaron Rodgers, man. I didn't think they had much of a chance. I thought, you know, they might be able to keep it close. But, I mean, wow. I mean, to not have your 2 receivers and to still figure out a way to do it, that's why I say if they had gotten Odell Beckham Jr., how scary would that have been? Oh, my goodness. But shout out to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, he just figures it out. He's a guy, there's 2 types of quarterbacks, right, that you can win with. A guy that elevates your team and a guy that needs a team around him to be good. Like Eli Manning needs a team around him to be good. Baker Mayfield is a guy that needs a team around him to be good. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers can elevate your team. And that's what Aaron Rodgers did. And he didn't have the gaudy numbers. I had him on my bench for fantasy. He got me about 15, 16 points. But he figures out a way to win the game. And that's really all you need at this point. So, I mean, And I'm kind of like, the Cardinals just didn't put their foot on the gas. Did you feel like that, Sirius? Like, I didn't feel like they were aggressive enough, right? Like, Kyler Murray didn't really go after him. I felt watching the game. I don't know about you. I just didn't feel like they went hard.
Well, I think that was a testament, in my opinion, to the Green Bay Packers defense. Like, before the game, Green Bay was one of the worst defenses in the league. They were giving up a point at an alarming clip, and you heard all of this yada yada, the Green Bay Packers defense, and they really manned up and just really played disciplined, sound football. You didn't let Kyler Murray get out the pocket and scramble and run around and beat you. Every catch was contested, and they didn't really explode down the field. It also helps when, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is dealing with a nagging injury, tried to come in and give it a go, and he was in and out of the lineup. So when you times that by the fact that, again, I'm not throwing shade on the Arizona Cardinals, but this is a team that, in my opinion, should have at least 3 losses on their ledger right now based off of how they play, and, you know, they managed to get out of stadiums with wins. I think this was a testament to Green Bay Packers defense. They played a third ball for their defensive coordinator who, you know, was on the protocol. They rallied around and made sure tackles. You wasn't seeing a lot of people fall forward. There were people falling backwards. So you got down to the goal line, and then James Conner does what James Conner does. And, you know, got me 2 touchdowns. Thank you. I appreciate that, sir. Miss you in Pittsburgh. Love you. Honestly, man, I mean, the game was won on the defensive play. The Arizona Cardinals were in field goal range. You know, I mean, you could have kicked the field goal, tied it up, and played for overtime, but a defensive play was made. Now, whether him and Kyler Murray and A.J. Green was on a different page, whatever, but the game was ended on an interception. You got to tip your caps to where, you know, give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely.
Before we get out of here, man, I got to talk about what took place in the city of Ohio, man. Pittsburgh went up there and got an ugly win. But it was a win nonetheless, beating the Cleveland Browns, a division opponent on the road, 15-10. Outside of the first play, the first drive of the first half and first drive of the second half, the Steelers pretty much dominated this ball game in every facet. You know, we outran it, we outthrew it, we tackled and ran to the football. So I was very, very impressed with how we performed. I'm not going to spoil it for those who want to go back and listen to my finger food, you know, episode. But I was very, very impressed with how we performed on Sunday, and that was the first time this season that I was very impressed with all 3 phases. But what were your thoughts watching that game, Barry? I know the Giants, you know, played yesterday, so you did have some free time to flip around red zone. So what were you thinking about watching the Steelers and the Cleveland Browns?
It was an ugly win, but it was an impressive win. I think Mike Tomlin doesn't get enough credit for how good a coach he is. I think he does, but he really doesn't. He hasn't had a losing season since he's been a head coach. And it's a thing of pride, not because it's the Steelers or what. As a black man, like, you know, he would be always, he's always on the hot seat because I feel like because of his color. And he doesn't get put in the Andy Reid kind of class because of his color. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he's never had a losing season. Andy Reid's had 4 or 5, or Sean Payton's had 4. So that's one thing. But they won. Not going to get it done, right? He can't elevate the team. The team needs to elevate around him. But that being said, the defense is horrible, the Cleveland Browns defense, right? You know, you don't, you know, score 40 points and lose a game. like he did to the Chargers. They've been playing bad all year. A lot of outside of Garrett, who's having a good year, that defense has been a big disappointment. Even Pittsburgh Steelers 15 points, still disappointing. But mine has started to figure it out. I think they've started to gel. Najee Harris. I wanted Najee Harris to go to the Steelers for a year since Alabama and figuring out where the Steelers were going to draft and, you know, how he could fall, blah, blah, blah. I wanted him in black and gold, and I'm happy the running back they needed. Now they can, you know, hand the ball off, make safe plays. Draft pick. I don't know which draft pick was better, right? Harris or Furlough, I'm going to say anything else. But two guys that they really needed. Their demise was greatly exaggerated. I thought that, you know, Ben Roethlisberger might be on a downward spiral and having that last year trouble like Eli Manning did. Not with Mike Tomlin there, who just writes the ship, not with that defense in tow. Steelers are they're not an elite team, but they're gonna be a dangerous team.
Yeah,
I think you're on mute.
I definitely agree with you. Yeah, my phone is having technical difficulties. I pull it in time, grabbing my gums, you know, on mute. But honestly, man, for me, I mean, it was a couple of things. You know, I do think that. Oh my goodness, they done busted this thing open.
Yep, it's over. I got my tomahawk chop going.
Let's go, man. Let's go. But honestly, for me, it was a couple of things. You know, the growth and development, if you will, of the offensive line. Who, again, if you guys have listened to my finger foods, I've literally dragged from week one. It's the fact that, you know, we're now falling forward. We are now figuring out ways to win and to be successful and everything. So it was something that I was very, very, very pleased with to watch. And I'm hopeful that can continue in the days ahead. We got about, you know, a couple minutes left. Do you want to spin ahead and look ahead to these games here? I'm not going to talk about the games.
I know. I would. Honestly, two things. Cowboys got a surprising win on Sunday night. Got to give them credit, even though I hate the Cowboys. I hate their fans. You know, I wish nothing but harm and bad things to happen to them, but got to give them credit. There's no reason to start Dak Prescott. He should not have been warming up in that game series, and the fact that they did put him out there is stupid. If you got a calf injury, that leads to a different type of injury. You should not have been playing. They have a comfortable lead to win that division. I know they're trying to get home field advantage. Dude, Dak Prescott, you are going to win with Dak Prescott. You're not going to win with him trying to gut through games where they don't need a win right that minute. He should not have been playing. If he's not ready to go next week, don't play him. Let him rest. Let him get right.
Yeah.
And you'll have them for the stretch run. But other than that, really, Henry Ruggs. Wow. I don't know about the details, but we know it was a DUI. A young lady lost her life. He was released to the hospital and thrown right in jail. So unfortunate situation for him. But somebody lost their life. You know, listen, justice has to be served and he has to atone for what he did. And that's really it.
You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, Henry Ruggs is a guy who came in the league with so much promise. And I really felt that in the past couple of years, he started to turn the corner a little bit. I felt that he was an integral part in what the Vegas Raiders did. Offensively, he caught a bomb against us. and we, you know, a couple weeks ago, it's unfortunate. And I was going to say this for my closeout, but I'll say it here. Let's be smarter. Like, if I mean, if you're going to drink and, you know, partake and you know, alcohol and things of that nature, please be smart.
You have money.
You know, there's
you have money.
Yeah. You know, there's no reason, in my honest opinion, for athletes of this magnitude or anybody, and that's, forget being an athlete, but especially if you're an athlete, to get behind the wheel of a car if you are you know, drunk or, you know, on whatever, man. It's unfortunate. Now, this family's life is forever altered.
Yeah.
You know, your life is forever altered. I'm not too sure what you're going to do now, because, you know, this is grounds for, you know, contract termination, and the Vegas Raiders don't even have to pay you at this point.
Yeah.
It's
not even about losing the job. He's going to jail. He's going to Yale.
Yeah, he's going to jail.
Not
the
college.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He's going to Yale.
Yeah.
So,
it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I mean,
right.
the range is 2 to 20, according to what my buddies are telling me, who stay out there in Vegas or whatever, for involuntary manslaughter. I'm neither judge nor jury or executioner. I just hope that, you know, whatever punishment that is levied down, that you think about the consequences of your actions. Somebody lost a mother, somebody lost a friend, somebody lost a spouse. And it's all because of your activity. And I'm sorry, I feel no bones about it. You know what I'm saying? With that being said, there's a couple games I kind of want to get your, you know, test your temperature on that's going to be coming up next week.
Okay.
The one I want to start with obviously involves your New York Giants playing these Las Vegas Raiders. How you feel about that game, man? I mean, coming off a terrible loss, the Raiders have everything plus some circling them this year with the Gruden thing plus this situation. Nice place to pick up a cheap win, if you ask me.
I mean, you would think that, but I'm not seeing it. I like what I'm seeing from this Raiders team. I mean, don't count the Giants out. I mean, they're at home, right?
Yeah.
You know, they can pull the win out. I'm looking up the line right now. I thought it was a little high. I'm not sure what the line was. Seriously, I don't know if you have it, but it is 2.5. But
2.5. Yeah.
You know, it's going to be. You know, this is a good Raiders team. The Raiders travel. They always have their fans in MetLife. I've been there for it. So I'm looking for the defense to play well. I think the defense can build on what they've been doing the last 2 weeks. You know, we'll see what happens. You know, Giants might be able to squeak a win out.
Yeah, all right, that's cool. That's cool. The next game I wanted to kind of touch on before we get out of here, in my opinion, in that 4 o'clock slot, man, you got the Green Bay Packers going in the Arrowhead to face the Kansas City Chiefs. If there was ever a game that Patrick Mahomes needs to get himself right, this is it.
Yes,
is it. I mean, it's mano a mano, Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes, you know, the greatest show on turf versus the constant professional. I mean, this is crazy, man. Tickets right now for that particular game are going for a low 230 right now. Like, it's going to be standing room only. It's going to be insane, man. What are you thinking about that game there?
It's an even. It's a pick. I like the Packers in this game. I don't know why anybody would think that the Chiefs, from what I've seen, they had trouble with the Giants at home. Aaron Rodgers, sign me up. I think that, you know, Giants were able to get 4 yards of carry against them. I think Jones is going to have a nice day. I like the Packers.
Yeah, I do too. I like the Green Bay Packers myself. And finally, again, I alluded to it earlier, the Tennessee Titans go on the road to SoFi to play the Rams. What are you thinking about that game? And as you're thinking about that game, going to give us a closeout.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Rams in that game. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be favorites in every game that they play. I don't know if Von Miller is going to be healthy enough to play, but even still, that offense is rolling. Stafford is quietly an MVP candidate, and so is Cooper Kupp. I like what I see in L.A., but Listen, get to the website, read the blog, the interviews, all that with the chefs. You got our YouTube channel, Exclusive Finger Foods. You got shows every week. We have the baseball buffet, the college cookout. The villain won't be there. I'll be doing family stuff, much like serious ones today. But, you know, I got the chefs holding it down. Appreciate you having me on the show, man. It's a pleasure as always, bro.
Man, so much fun kicking it with you, man. It's your boy, Sirius, reference now 412 and the 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys, man. I'm actually going to be in the building tomorrow, man, holding down with the homie TP Tomlins, my man Mike, Matt, whatever I decide to call him that day, man. The homie going to be there, Harvey, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Doing some things, man, going over some stuff. We may be talking about a Crown World Series champion here in the next, you know, in the next show, man. So definitely check out that. Again, the blogs, the merchandise, everything, man. Your boy says is going, man. Y'all be easy, man. As my homie TP would say, tell a friend to tell a friend, the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know, man. We out.
Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, chefs, chefs.
Connecticut.